I tell you, the Holy Spirit, when He moves, He moves. We can't live our life without the Holy Spirit. That's the way I feel. I can't go through life without the power of the Holy Spirit being part of my life. I want it to be the whole part of my life. And I tell you, we've been working on a sermon series, and I know I'm not really big on sermon series, but this one here I just really felt that God wanted me to continue on with this. And last week we talked about walking according to the Spirit on the Sunday morning service, and it's setting your mind on the things of the Spirit Sunday night. And part of that is how our walk is, and how we are able to live a holy life. You know, our church is a church that is our whole theology is based on called unto holiness. We should strive for holiness. We should want our lives to people to look at us as a holy people. You know, we want God to look at us as holy people. But the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Is what I'm saying. And I don't want to forget something this morning, though, William. Wanted to say a couple things this morning, and I just want to give him that moment to say what he wanted to say there. Didn't want to forget you, William. Amen, William. We love you, William. Amen. That's a true statement there. I don't know what I would do without my church family. I don't know what I would do. And in times, hard times, that's when we rely on our friends and our family. And I want to thank you guys as well. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about putting to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. And in Romans 8:13, and if you have your Bibles with you, I didn't tell Verna this, but so she doesn't have it up there. But if you have your Bibles this morning, it's always good to have your Bibles with you anyway. And if you don't have your Bibles, you may have a Bible app. That's easy to get to and quick to go through too, so... But Romans chapter 8, verse 13. I'll give you a moment. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Let us learn from it this morning, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now that you, Lord, just let me set aside anything that may hinder me from speaking your word clearly. Lord, just clear my mind so I may receive your thoughts. Lord, open up my heart, Lord. Just cleanse me of anything that's unrighteous this morning that may get in the way. Lord, I just pray for each and every one that's here this morning. Let their ears be open. Lord, let our hearts be warmed by your holy presence this morning. Lord, let us leave here better than we came. Lord, I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, many believers have actually come to the conclusion that living a holy life or living a life of holiness is really not a possibility. And I see this with people. They live in a defeated life. They claim to know Jesus. They claim to be a Christian, but yet their life is a roller coaster life. They live always in defeat. They feel like that they're obligated to the flesh instead of obligated to the Spirit. You know, and that there's no way that they can defeat the strongholds in their life. And a lot of times it's because they've went to the Lord on many occasions, and they prayed about things in their life that they're dealing with, you know, strongholds or sin in their life or things that they're struggling with, and it seems like they can never overcome it. And because of that, they feel like that this life of holiness is impossible, or that's not attainable. And so, but yet the scriptures say differently. That sometimes our expectations may be high. Sometimes we pray for healing and we don't get it, right? And sometimes we live in that life, well, maybe I was, you know, my expectations were too high. And, there is a life of overcoming. I'm telling you, there is a life of overcoming sin. And the Bible teaches this. And we are not obligated to the ways of this world. We're not obligated to the fleshly desires of this world. And what I'm saying is we don't have to live according to the flesh. Romans 8:12 and 13 says, the issue of being obligated or to live according to the flesh is one of the main differences between people who are believers and unbelievers. And Scripture does teach the person in whom the Holy Spirit lives that we can consistently live a life that pleases the Lord when we set our minds on the Lord, like we talked about last Sunday night. When we set our minds upon the things of God, when we set our minds on the things of above, then we can live a consistent life in the Spirit. When we set our minds on the things of the flesh, when we set our minds on the things below, then those things will overcome you. Those things will overcome you in your life. So we have to set our minds on the things of above. And, like the song, that Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I talked about that last week. But so I want you to know, you're not obligated to live according to the flesh. And Paul teaches that. You know, we can live a life with the knowledge that we are free from condemnation, and we can live a life as people free from the law, and we can live our lives realizing that God fulfilled the requirement of the law through Jesus Christ, and we can set our minds on the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. And we can live as people who are characterized as peace-loving people. We can. We can live our lives that are pleasing to God. You can. We talked about that in our Bible study on Friday night. The question was, are all the things in your life pleasing to God? Are the things that you do in life pleasing to God? And if they're not, those are the things we have to work on. Those are the things we need to look at in ourselves and say, are these things that I'm doing pleasing God? And we work on those things. You know, we can live free from the obligation to do things of the flesh. We can. We don't have to sin. Come on. Amen. We don't have to sin. We have a choice. We have a choice. We can be tempted, and yes, we will. We will be tempted. We're going to go through trials. The Bible teaches us that. We know that as people. We're going to go through things in our life, but we have a choice to make, either to live by the flesh or to live by the Spirit. That is our choice. You know, all these things are a part of what Jesus referred to as the abundant life. He says, I want you to have life, and I want you to have it more abundantly. He wants us to have this abundant life. What? What is this abundant life he's talking about? Set free from the things of the world. He wants us to live that life, and he gives us an opportunity to do so. Our thinking process has to be increasingly towards God. We have to start thinking about things from above. We have to go through that process. And then that takes an effort, right? We have to fill our lives of the things that the Spirit sees that is good and profitable, or as we read in the Scripture. We have to put to death the fleshly desires. We have to fill our lives full of the things of the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. And the more we do that, you know, it's like the old saying is, you know, you put junk in, you get junk out. You've heard that before? You put junk in, you get junk out. You put good stuff in, you get good stuff out. It's the same thing with our life. We got to put stuff in that's good and pleasing to God. And as long as the more that we absorb that stuff and the more that we surround ourselves with those things, the more of that stuff will come out of us. Because that's what's filling us. Some of us have got great big buckets that need filled. I want it filled to overflowing. So what's coming out of me is what's coming from up there. We have to start thinking godly thoughts. The putting to death of the deeds of the body and saying no to sin. And we can only do that by the Spirit. You know, and Paul stresses that you will live if and only you mortify, in other words, you put to death the deeds of the body. You know, and I say that a lot. We got to die daily. That's what Paul said. We have to put to death those deeds that cause us to sin. You know, we have to do away with those things in our life. And it's only by the enablement of the Spirit. In other words, and I use that definition, enablement. It's the definition is the action of giving someone the authority or means to do something. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It enables us to be able to say no to the flesh. It enables us to overcome those strongholds in our life because, what's it say? It is an action giving someone the authority or means to do something. The Holy Spirit gives us authority to say no to Satan. Get behind thee, Satan. I don't want any part of that. You can tempt me all you want, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have no control over me. Amen?
Amen.
Enablement. In the computer terms, and I think I've used this before, in the computer world, it's the action of making a device operational. I like that. The Holy Spirit makes us operational. It's the only way we can operate in the Spirit is with the Spirit. Amen? Come on.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is what makes us operational. It's what gives us the authority. We have the Trinity, right? The three parts in one. It works together. That's why it's so important. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. It's so that we could overcome the strongholds, the desires, the fleshly desires, and the things of this world. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we cannot overcome those things. And that's what Paul is saying. You know, we've been given the responsibility of putting to death the deeds of the body over and over and over again throughout this whole life we live. It's not just a one-time thing. Paul says, I die daily. What's he talking about? He's saying, I put to death the deeds of the body, the flesh. I bury those things every day. I mortify those things every day so that I can overcome. And that's Paul. This is Apostle Paul. Talking. He's saying, I deal with this stuff too. So I have to die daily too. And this is how you do it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not a passive suggestion, really. It's not a passive, it's an active engagement in our lives. We have to actively engage in our life as a Christian. We have to actively seek the Word of God. We have to actively seek God in prayer. That has to be part of our lives. Actively engaging. Learning. It's not just about letting go and letting God do all the work. You know, it's not about just do your best, but it is, because what the Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, do your best to present yourselves approved to God. Philippians 1:27 says, may I hear that you are standing firm and striving for the faith of the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Ephesians 6:11 through 14 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil. And in Colossians 1:29 says, for this I labor, striving by God's power which mightily works within me. You hear that scripture right there, Colossians 1:29. I labor, striving. But why? How? By God's power, which mightily works inside me. Amen? That's how He's able to overcome. That's how He's able to do those things. And that's how we, you, me, all of us here this morning, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're standing firm in your faith, and you can have that strength and power to overcome those things in your life. Amen. Come on. He tells us that. This is not just a maybe. It's not just a suggestion. This is saying you can do this. But you have to do this. You have to actively engage the things from above. Seek that thing. Seek the kingdom of heaven. What? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and what? All else will be added, right? What is that? The abundant life. That's what he's talking about. Tearing down the strongholds. You know, it's not all about just trusting. We can focus on trusting, and trusting's good. We can trust in the Lord. And the Bible clearly teaches us the importance of, but most of all, obedience. It's more than just trusting. It's obedience. We can trust. What's the song say? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus is what? To trust and obey. I wonder what that writer was getting that from. Amen? It's more than just trusting, it's obedience as well. We have to do what the Bible says. James says we have to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. You can hear a lot of things, but if you don't do what you hear, come on. You know, I think one of the hang-ups for many Christians is the thought, if they are actively battling sin, then they cannot possibly be trusting in the Spirit. I know that's not true. We go through trials and tribulations. There's things that we go through in life. And guess what? Even though we can trust in the Lord and we can have faith, we're not perfect people yet. That's why we need to be sanctified people. Amen? That's why we got to be focused on the things from above and not the things of the world. Because we need to be sanctified down here. We need to be living under the power of the Holy Spirit down here. Called unto holiness and sanctification is two of our main things in our church, right? There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And some people don't believe it's attainable, but I'm telling you, Paul right here is saying it is possible. But I think people misunderstand what it is because they give up. They don't have the faith. They don't take the active approach to obligating to Jesus. Man, we got to be obligated to Him, the one who saved us, the one who gave His life. I mean, He allowed them. Now, they just didn't do it to Him. He allowed them to nail Him to a cross. He allowed them to beat Him. He allowed that to happen. so that we could have eternal life. Why would we not want to obligate ourselves to Him and seek His ways? Whew. Man, that choked me up. The Scripture teaches that we are to render the deeds of the body ineffective by the Spirit and not to give the devil any sort of foothold in our lives. Ephesians 4:27 says that. So in prayerful trust, in continual dependence upon the power of the Holy Spirit, we can take action so that our sinful deeds of the body are done away with, are not given into. We can prepare for temptation. You know, soldiers prepare for battle. They train and they prepare. So should we. We should prepare for temptation that will come, because the Scripture says it will come. Prepare for it. How do we do that? We can prepare for it in prayer. Take time to pray. Take time to study the Word and grow in our faith. And that says in Ephesians 6:10 tells us that. And we are carefully avoided. You know, we should carefully avoid places and situations in which we are highly susceptible to temptation as well. And when we are tempted, we call out to the Lord and stand firm. Ephesians 6:13 talks about that. And in 2 Timothy 2:22, it talks about that we should flee from that stuff. We should flee from that. You know, but sometimes if we do fall or stumble, that's when we should immediately repent. Amen?
Amen.
We got to repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. And then start preparing for the next attack. Because they're going to come over and over and over and over again. So we have to be prayed up. We have to keep our minds set on the things of above so that when those things come, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to overcome. Amen. It's important to recognize those areas of temptation. Because those areas of temptation is the areas that we have to pay more attention to. There's things in our life, and each one of us have our weaknesses. Every one of us do. You know, the Scripture says, confess your sins with one another. That's not for judgment. That's not so we can judge or criticize or go gossip about each other. That's so that we can learn to build up hedges of protection around us. So that when those temptations come, those weak areas we're able to make strong and stay out of that temptation. So we got to recognize those things. Putting to death the deeds of the body is, you know, there was a theologian by the name of David Brown. He said, if you don't kill sin, sin will kill you. I like that. He's telling the truth. If you don't kill sin in your life, sin will kill you. Jesus said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of your parts of your body perish than your whole body to be thrown into hell. Matthew 5:29. His message is that no action is too drastic in dealing with sin. No price is too great to pay in turning from sin to trusting Christ and thereby escaping damnation or escaping hell. Man, that's drastic, isn't it? He also goes on to cutting off your hand. He's talking about, you know, I mean, he goes into that. That's drastic, he's saying. Gouging your eyes out. I mean, that's pretty drastic, but he's saying it's better for you to go into heaven like that than it would be to go not at all. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? That's what he's saying. Put to death the deeds of the flesh that are in your life. Get rid of that stuff that brings you away from Christ. Paul says, I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which also I laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:12-14. You know, Paul is saying that he hasn't achieved perfection yet. But that was his objection. I can't even say it. That's where he wanted to go, right? He wasn't perfect yet, but that's what he wanted. That's what he was striving for. That was his goal in life, was perfection. And so should our life be that way as well. It's not that we're perfect, but we should strive to be perfect. We should press on towards the mark, not looking back, not standing still. We got to keep going every day. When we mess up, we fall down, we get up, we keep walking. Come on. I press on. I keep going. Yes, I was beat. Yes, I was put in prison. Yes, I'm probably going to get beheaded. That's Paul. But you don't hear him talking about that. He says, I press on towards the mark. I'm going to win a prize one of these days, and I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what happens to my body. I don't care if I go in headless, whatever, I'm going to heaven. Amen. They can do whatever they want to me. I'm going to heaven because I'm pressing on. My mind is set on the things of above. My heart is in the right place. I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I put to death every day those things that bring me down because I don't want to miss the mark, he says. I don't want to miss it. John MacArthur says that God's people invariably fall into sin when their focus turns away from the Almighty to themselves and to the things of this world. That's a true statement. And that's why Paul says this, and he says it to the believers in Colossians. He says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on this earth. Why? Because you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen? You have died out to those things of the flesh and they're hidden with Christ. Amen? Man, I love that statement in Colossians 3:1-3. You know, Paul's not suggesting just letting go and letting God. That's not that philosophy. He's saying you have a kind of a spiritual life that has been promised to you and that you can experience as long as you put to death every day and as long as you become obligated to Christ, you can live that life. You know, this life of sanctification is only meant for us here on this earth. There'll be no need to be sanctified in heaven. Right? There's no more sorrow, no more sin, no more death. None of that's in heaven. No more temptation. But as long as we're here on this earth, there is a need to be sanctified. There is a need to live out a holy life here. But we only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish up here. When God's children open up their minds and hearts to their Heavenly Father, He lovingly reveals sins that otherwise will go unnoticed. That's why we sang that song this morning, because David talks about it in Psalms. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalms 139. You know, God reveals those things to us that sometimes go unnoticed, or sometimes that are camouflaged in our life. But God reveals them to you when we're in sincere prayer with Him on a daily basis. When we go to Him and say, "Lord, reveal to me what's holding me back. Reveal to me what's not good in my life. What's not pleasing to you in my life." We have to do that every day. Every day. Psalms again says, "Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalms 119, 5 and 6 through 11. In other words, when we know and obey God's word, we are building up both our defenses and offenses against sin. And then there is challenging counsel that comes from the Scriptures, always. Haggai says, "Consider your ways, Lord. Consider your ways." You know, I think Paul's main point here in Romans is that by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, we are able to successfully resist and destroy sin in our lives. And as a believer, faithfully and submissively, you know, as we submit our minds and our hearts to God, God's truth and His Spirit takes control of our life. But it takes action, it takes engagement, and it takes submission. That's all action. We have to submit to Him and set our minds on the things of above and not the things of the flesh, the things of the world that can overcome and take you down. So this morning, I just say, put to death the things of this world. Do away with those things that hold you back. Amen.